Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. It's the last Saturday in February 2017. Unbelievable, 2 months have gone. I mean, between ranch and snowstorms and projects and books, I lose track of what day it is. Although I know it's Saturdays when I do the show for you. All you fine listeners of mine, and thank you so much for listening. So today, we're going to be talking about several very important items because they are kind of like my show last week, if you didn't listen to it. They are, why don't we say, culminating, coalescing, becoming reality. And these are all things we have talked about in the past, but now we have current events that back up suppositions long ago. And by long ago, I mean a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I've talked to you about these subjects, warned about these subjects. And Donald Trump has brought it to the fore. He has brought them out of the closet. He has brought the Islamists out of the closet. He has brought the loony left out of the closet. He has brought the lying, absolutely corrupt mainstream media out of the closet, and they are on full display for us to see. There's no more guessing now about what these people think, about who is doing what to whom, about who cares about whom or not. And let me tell you, the loony left and the Islamists don't care about you or me or America or American values at all. And they are in cahoots. I told you last week, I suggested you go to the search bar and type in Unholy Alliance. Several years ago, I was talking about the fact that the extreme left and radical Islam were joined at the hip. It may be an uneasy alliance, but nonetheless, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And their common enemy is America, American values, and all us bubbas, bitter clingers, irredeemable deplorables. And we are embodied in Donald Trump. I mean, they have a person now that they can kind of focus their wrath on. And their fear, because he is dismantling the world that they have carefully constructed in the dark, lying to us at every turn for years and years and years. And now it's all bubbling to the surface. The shadow government, which I warned of, type it in, shadow government, Obama czars, whatever, you can listen to the shows from several years ago. The shadow government I've warned about is now, boy, that's a term that you're hearing like every day. You don't hear it much on the mainstream medias like CNN and MSNBC. We're going to be talking a little bit about that today. We're also going to be talking about some dots which have arisen just this week, which once again close that circle, connect those dots, create those lines in this alliance between the extreme left and radical Islam, much to our detriment and danger, I might add. We're going to be talking about, in addition to that, and I'm going to give you some examples. I mean, concrete examples this week of that alliance. You bet I am. I'm going to be talking a little bit about what's going on to the attempts to torpedo Trump by the shadow government and by the establishment that runs the shadow government, I might add. You know, I talked several weeks ago about the fact, I think it was probably when Brennan was leaving office, so right around the inauguration, that show right around the inauguration, you might want to listen to it. But I told you the CIA is where most of the problems are coming from. I mean, you could tell just by Brennan's animosity, his vitriolic hatred of Trump, his comments on the Sunday shows when he was departing, knocking the President of the United States. I mean, unbelievable. And, of course, an Obama appointee. And, as I have mentioned before, you can make your own determination, Google him up. A likely convert to Islam himself. We had a convert to Islam running the CIA under Obama. Amazing. And, of course, we know about Obama. He is what he is, even though he went to great lengths to hide it for 8 years and even previous to that. So we're going to talk a little bit about some letters I got, because in my show last week I talked about Obama not caring about black people, but using his blackness at the same time. Typical hypocrite, devious, untruthful ideologue that he is. Using his blackness as kind of a shield against realistic criticism. Real concerns. Remember that guy when he was talking at the State of the Union? I think it was 2, maybe 3 years ago. First name Joe, I forget the last name. He was a congressman. In the middle of the State of the Union, when he was talking about how illegals aren't going to get health care under Obamacare, and you can keep your doctor. You know, the umpteenth time he was saying the same crap. And this guy shouted out from the audience, "You lie." And everybody got on his case, right? Everybody got on his case. And I think the guy lost his next election. But he was right. Obama was up there at the State of the Union, just like at the UN, on the Benghazi tapes, just like to us, America, countless times on countless shows and interviews, lying to us through his teeth. Well, some of those chickens are coming home to roost now, as his pastor of 20 years, Jeremiah Wright, was fond of saying. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about, in terms of this alliance between Islam and the left, about Keith Ellison. Now, the vote is today. This is for the DNC chairman, the top dog in the Democratic Party. The guy is going to run the party, run elections, and pretty much formulate the message, policy, and platform of the party, or at least oversee it. Wait till you hear about this guy, who is a Muslim, by the way. Wait till you see who sponsored him, who's paid for his trips to Saudi Arabia and other places, who he's been associated with, how he got his start, you know, kind of like Obama got his start in Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist's living room back there in Chicago. You'll find this fascinating, and nobody is talking about it. I mean, they all talk about Ellison, and they whisper this and whisper that. I'm going to give you the cold, hard facts. Oh, yes, I am. And there's some skullduggery by John McCain and Susan Collins and a number of other Republican establishment types. Amazingly, most of these Republican establishment types who are creating overt or behind-the-scenes constipation for Trump's policies, to the detriment, by the way, of America, you, me, the Republican Party, conservatism, the Constitution, you name it, because they don't care. A lot of those names are those 12 guys I told you about who's gotten money from George Soros. You know, the financier of the left giving money to Republicans. And then those Republicans are getting on Trump's case. Must be a coincidence, huh? Must be a coincidence. And we're going to talk a little bit about, the FBI, the CIA, and the fake news that's going on, the latest of which is this nonsense about Rance Priebus asking the FBI, this is how the mainstream media is portraying it, asking the FBI to get Donald Trump off the hook with the Russian allegations. That's not what happened at all. Not even close. Fake news by the usual culprits of fake news. Donald Trump is right. And you know, the fake news outfits jumping up and down about how Donald Trump's attacking the press and he's attacking the First Amendment. And, of course, I'm going to tell you a little bit about McCain in an overseas talk, kind of falling right in line with the talking points of the Democrats, the lefties, the Islamists, and the mainstream media. It all ties in, folks. This is all interrelated. And it is all about globalists, elites, establishment, and the deep state. And by the way, I've given you, you know, you could not, this is another term. Now you're hearing shadow government everywhere. I was talking about it 3 years ago. Everybody laughed at me. And now you hear it everywhere. Another term that I talked about incessantly years ago and for the last several years, and suddenly is like the rage. Like you can hardly turn on a channel and not hear about it. Of course, not MSNBC or CNN, but any others. And that's the deep state. In fact, type in the search bar, deep state. You'll hear my shows on it. In fact, I read you an article in one of the shows, fabulous article. I mean, the show is worth listening to just to listen to the article, who was written by a guy by the name of Doug Casey. Really one of the most powerful articles on establishment and globalists I've ever read. I mean, it'll send chills up your spine. And what you're seeing play out is exactly that. The deep state. And the deep state is the conglomeration of radical Islam, the lefty loonies, that is the extreme left, the alt-left, the establishment, the media, and the shadow government. They are all tied in together. They are one and the same, even though they go to great pains to try and pretend they are not. But now it's in front of our face. It's undeniable. Undeniable. So let me get started here. First of all, you folks that wrote me, and I think a couple of you who wrote me are extreme left trolls. So, you know, that's fine. I'll respond to you. I don't care. So I was accused of being racist. I was accused of being... un-American. I was accused of being or taking positions contrary to what America really is. Another email accused me of hating black people. And another email accused me of being divisive. Now, I got a pile of mail saying they love the show. But that's besides the point. Let me address these people, these trolls, or whoever they are that wrote me these letters. So you didn't like the fact that I said Obama doesn't give a hoot about black people, but loved the fact that he could use being black as a cloak, as a shield, as an umbrella against the rightful reign that was sent his way by legitimate detractors who caught him in his lies, in his tangled web of deceit, in his un-American and treasonous activities. It's okay, by the way, for you guys to take the same shots at Trump, in fact, in a much more vile way. But Obama, you know, anything was said against Obama, you were racist. You were this, you were that, you were the other. It was all about him being black. And, of course, he played that to the hilt. Do you really think he gave a damn about that kid in Ferguson? Or that poor black guy that got killed in Baltimore? Remember the six cops? And that slimy, underhanded Obamatronist Mosley, the state prosecutor there who lied through her teeth, screwed up, brought charges against these six cops, all of which were acquitted or dismissed. You remember that? I mean, that's not too long ago. That's 6 months ago. That and a whole bunch of other deals that Obama would get on his bully pulpit and talk about. All his speeches on race, Jim Crow this and Jim Crow that. Okay, never mind the fact that the Democratic Party is the bastion, was prior to the Civil War, was in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Remember George standing in front of the university in Alabama, not allowing black students in? Kennedy sending down the National Guard. Remember all that? I mean, some of you who are listening to me, that's before your time. Google it up. George Wallace. John F. Kennedy. National Guard. Read about it. These are Democrats. Democrats. That's when there were Democrats. Now there are no Democrats. Now they're just progressives. But the Democrats, prior to the Civil War, after the Civil War, all the way up into the 60s and 70s, were the bastion of racism. And they remain the bastion of racism today. Now, they don't do it with whips, and they don't do it with chains. They do it with dependency. They do it with a squandering of funds which should go to help folks in the inner city and in their communities and in their congressional districts, because they don't want those people to raise themselves up. If those people get educated and raise themselves up, they're going to throw those bums out of office. If those people educate themselves and get jobs, good paying jobs, they're not going to need the politician's welfare check. This is a bondage of financial, mental, and emotional dependency which the Democratic Party has fostered, watered, cultivated, and is desperate not to lose. They're scared to death that Donald Trump's going to steal the black vote. And by the way, he's making inroads in it. Because, you know, those poor folks in the inner city who want to get ahead, they know when somebody cares and when they don't. They just haven't had a choice up to now. And Obama would play this to the hilt. Every time he could play the black card, forget the racist card, the black card, he'd play it. He'd play it like a banjo. And it was to remind everybody that he was black, so that he could use that shield of blackness against getting caught in the web of deceit regarding Benghazi. The continual lies out of his mouth, and lies, remember, are untruths stated and known to be untrue by the guy who's saying them at the time he says them. Lies. And he lied. He barely moved his lips without lying. It almost didn't matter what. He lied about the economy, Benghazi, Obamacare, the military, you name it. I mean, the list is endless. That's not the purpose of this show. What the purpose of this particular segment is to bring home the fact that a man who professed to care about blacks absolutely didn't do squat, zero, nada, nothing to save lives of black people, including women and children, in Chicago. In the whole 8 years he was in, the deaths, the destruction, the maiming, the shattered families in Chicago went up every single year. He was more concerned with his loyalty to Rahm Emanuel, his personal legacy, and warding off the arrows that were coming at him for his blatant and continuing untruths than he was about doing anything about the poor black folks in Chicago who are getting killed and wounded by the thousands, or Baltimore, or Los Angeles, or anywhere. He did nothing to help black people. Zero. And you think he cared about black people? No. He only cared about being black. There's a difference. Think about it. Black was his shield. That's all he was concerned about. And raising the image of blackness, raising the image of racism, pretending to be the friend of black people when his actions said just the opposite, or should I say his lack of actions said just the opposite, is all too true, irrefutable, and absolutely 100% telltale. He used his blackness, and he gave nothing back to other blacks. So, if you think I'm wrong, let me give you another example. How about Detroit? Never mind the crime, the killing, the wounding, the violence in Detroit. Think about what's happened to Detroit under 50 years. I did shows on this too. Type in Detroit in the search bar. Listen to those shows. I was talking about this several years ago. Detroit is a total wreck. It's just one example of a total wreck under Democratic control for 50 years. This was the wealthiest city in America in the 1950s, with a population of close to 2 million. Today, it is a blighted mess, with a population of 700,000. You can buy houses in Detroit. I am not making this up. Google, go to a real estate site. There are houses in Detroit you can buy for a dollar, for $100. That's how screwed up that inner city is. That's what a loss of population it has suffered. And it's accelerated under Obama's watch. He did nothing, zero, to help Detroit. Not a thing. In fact, he allowed manufacturers to leave Michigan and go to foreign countries, sucking even more jobs out of the rarefied job atmosphere in Michigan. And you think he cared about black people? Really? No. He cared about being black. There's a big difference. Did he do anything, you doubting Thomases out there who wrote me those emails? Tell me one thing Barack Obama did in 8 years to stem what is, and Google it up, 40% of the 18% loss in job participation is in black males around the country. 40%. That means all the other ethnicities Jews, Hindus, Asians, Hispanics, you name it. Together are only 60%. Blacks bore 40% of the economic losses in terms of jobs and income under Obama during his 8-year tenure. You tell me he cares about blacks. He did zero. In fact, he accelerated it. He did nothing to stop the loss of jobs, the movement of companies. Instead, he would hang out the siren song of a higher minimum wage. Oh, gee, let's see. I'm getting $10 an hour now, and tomorrow I'm going to get $11, and that's going to get me out of the ghetto. Give me a break. I hate to use Donald Trump's term, but he was probably using it before I was, but it's one of my favorite expressions, too. Did he do anything? Let me give you another point. Since you folks are so riled up over me saying that he used his blackness as a shield and otherwise couldn't have cared less. In fact, I think in his heart of hearts he wished he wasn't black. How about this? The disproportionate share of job loss and income depression resulting from illegal immigration falls on who? If most illegal immigrants, and this is a fact, Google it up, are unskilled workers. Remember what the left says, oh, we got to have these guys in here because no Americans want to do the job. Which is the same as saying these guys, these illegal immigrants, these illegal aliens are unskilled. So when an unskilled worker comes in from somewhere else, Mexico, Honduras, wherever, through open borders, which were Obama's policy, and are not deported, which were Obama's policy, and are caught at the border and released, Obama's policy. In fact, his executive orders. When those people get into this economy and they're willing to work for $7 an hour rather than $10, who do you think's going to get hired? The black guy who really, really, really needs and wants a job to keep his family together or whatever for $10 an hour? Or the illegal alien who's going to work under the table for $7? Who? Who do you think the company is going to hire? And did Barack Obama do anything about E-Verify? In other words, did he do anything to hold companies accountable for hiring illegal aliens, which is a breach of federal law? Zero. Zero. Despite the fact that this influx of illegal aliens, unskilled illegal aliens, hurt first and foremost, and more than any other group, disproportionately. Once again, 40%, Google it up, hurt black people. The very folks that Barack Obama professed in his siren songs about concern over the professor at Harvard and the poor guy in Ferguson and Trayvon Martin and, you know, whatever. Actions speak louder than words, folks. And I have now given you, I'm not going to waste any more time on this, other than to repeat, and I'm not backing down one iota, because what I'm telling you is the truth. And it's backed by the facts. I've given you just four more tonight, this morning. No matter what you think, you cannot argue with those facts. You Google them up. You can go to government websites and get statistics yourself, Department of Labor. And by the way, it also extends to his mishandling, or should we say lack of handling, or turning the other cheek to HB visas, HB1 visas, you name it. And it was all about identity politics. It was a way he could wheedle more votes. It was a way that he could, like the Democrats before him, enslave the black population, not with chains, not with whips, but with the lie of caring. With the lie of him being, quote unquote, black himself. And with the lie that he cared. And they were lies. And that leads me into the next segment. Because Barack Obama and his whole ilk, Valerie Jarrett, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, Jay Johnson at Department of Homeland Security, you name it, the whole cadre of nasty, loony left progressives. Because they don't care. Because they never cared. Because they only care about themselves. They only care about their ideology. They only care about their own personal power and wealth. That is what led to the alliance between them and radical Islam. Because radical Islam, to them, is an instrumentality. And, by the way, they are an instrumentality to radical Islam. Once again, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Radical Islam helped them get done what they needed to do, cover their tracks, assist in the cloak of caring, which didn't exist. Don't believe it? Listen to my shows. Type in the search bar, Muslims in Government, Muslim Brotherhood. Listen to those shows. I have shows where I gave you by name high-ranking people, which, by the way, us American taxpayers were paying for, that Barack Obama put in the White House, put in the security agencies. In last week's show, I told you about three Muslim brothers who stole information from the Senate and Congressional Intelligence Committees. You know, Democratic hacking of communications of national security significance, and how that likely led to the death of that poor SEAL Owens in that raid in Yemen, and the wounding of several other SEALs. And in my opinion, and one day we'll find out, the loss of 30 SEALs in that tragedy in Afghanistan, a mission called Extortion 17, months after bin Laden was killed. No. Think about Barack Obama supporting the Muslim Brotherhood over the people of Egypt and a secular government in Egypt. Think about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton taking out Gaddafi. Was Gaddafi a nice guy? No, he was a scumbag. It's not the point. They knew it would destabilize that country, and they knew that would create opportunity for radical Islam. There was a quid pro quo going on. The same in Syria. The exact same thing in Syria. The same with ISIS. Barack Obama gets intelligence on ISIS before ISIS is really ISIS. They're just starting to mass on the Syria-Iraqi border. They're out in the open. His generals are saying, take them out. He ignores them. Then he lies to us a year later as they're as they're taking Mosul and Fallujah. They're the JVs. We don't have to worry about them. They're not a threat to us. And then he pretends to wage a battle against them by taking out a couple of their leaders with drones. Oh, wow. You know, he loves to thump on his chest about taking out bin Laden. Loves it. And I guarantee you, folks, I guarantee you, if that mission had failed, you would have never heard about it. Not a peep. I think in the end, he did the mission, not because he had any courage at all, but because he figured out a way he couldn't lose. Remember, this is the guy who lied about the Benghazi video. 2 weeks after, everybody knew the video was nonsense. Went to the UN 2 weeks later, and we're still talking about the video. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable that people can't see it. I mean, if you follow this stuff at all, the dots are all out there for you. You don't need every single dot that I have. I follow it all the time. You just need a few. We can all think empirically, can we not? You want to tell me that a black guy cares about other black guys but lets thousands of them be slaughtered in the cities and does nothing? Lets 40% of them lose their jobs? Promotes policies that creates the job loss, which creates the violence, which creates the death and destruction, which allows a great city to fall to basically dust and rubble? Oh, come on. Please. Unbelievable. And on this radical Islam loony left alliance, the unholy alliance, it is absolutely, positively true without a doubt. I was certain of it when I first brought it up for you folks. You can listen to those shows several years ago. I am more than positive. I am 200% convinced. I've given you just a few more dots tonight. And dots, which, by the way, I happened to talk about in the past. Remember Obama bowing to the king of Saudi Arabia and then trying to say that he wasn't bowing? Well, you know, if he wasn't bowing, let me tell you, he must have had a severe sudden hernia attack. And having had hernias since my encounter with the friggin' irrigation pipe this summer, I guarantee you he didn't have a hernia attack. He was bowing to the king of Saudi Arabia. Who, by the way, whole separate subject, is rumored to have financed his education. We will find that out over time, too. It will all come out. Unfortunately, too late. So, in addition to all those, my producers, that's right, and the Iran deal. The Iran deal, of course. His treatment of Israel. And the Iran deal. His shoving up Israel's butt with that final vote at the UN as he's leaving office. Leaving Israel out high and dry for the whole world to peck on. Guaranteeing the Iranians a nuclear weapon. Even by his admission, 10 years from now. I mean, I can go on and on. Not arming the Kurds, who are the most successful fighters by far. Google it up, folks. It's all out there for you. The most successful fighters against ISIS and radical Islam in the Mideast, the Kurds, who begged Obama for weapons and ammo and something. You got to remember, ISIS was allowed to take all our armaments. Did Obama go in there when they took Mosul and the Iraqi army fled leaving, you know, hundreds of tanks, 2,500 armored MRACs and all sorts of stuff. I mean, basically, he took ISIS, he individually and personally ensured that ISIS went from an infantry corps to a mechanized armor corps. So the Kurds are now fighting advanced American armor in the hands of ISIS. Abram tanks, armored half tracks, all sorts of stuff. And the Kurds are begging him for years to give him something so that they could fight ISIS at least on even Steven terms. I mean, the Kurds were fighting American tanks, which Obama allowed ISIS to take. Tell me, folks, how difficult would it be for the Commander-in-Chief of the United States, with the military that we have and the assets we have at our disposal, to getting real-time intelligence? I guarantee you, Barack Obama knew that the Iraqis were in retreat before the Iraqis knew they were in retreat. How difficult you think it would have been to order an airstrike to take out that armor parked in neat rows in Mosul so ISIS couldn't get their hands on it? Was that done? Oh, no. Uh-uh. Not at all. Were the oil fields taken out that were financing ISIS, which could have been done in the snap of a finger? Oh, no. Nope. Nope. Let's see, what was the excuse in that? Oh, yeah, we're going to put some smoke in the sky. We're going to hurt global warming. Who he maintained to us was a much bigger enemy, a much larger threat than radical Islam. Of course, he didn't use the words radical Islam. Another clue. So, that's all in the past. Let's talk about the current. It is likely that today, Keith Ellison from Minnesota will be elected the DNC chairman. Now, Keith Ellison is a Muslim. I believe he's the only Muslim in Congress. I'm not sure. But that's not important. There's nothing wrong with having a Muslim as the head of the DNC. However, having a jihadist, an anti-American Islamist, as the head of the DNC, is a whole different story. And Keith Ellison is exactly that. By the way, do you know who Barack Obama is backing? There's a number of people running for the position. There's one or two people who are kind of from the Bernie Sanders camp. There's Keith Ellison from the loony left, radical Islamist, unholy alliance camp. And then there's several, I'm not sure there's such a thing as a moderate Democrat anymore, but several that are more moderate than the others. How's that? Let me tell you a little bit about Keith Ellison. And this is the guy that Barack Obama is backing to be the head of the DNC. Another huge dot, folks. So, Keith Ellison is a Muslim. Nothing wrong with that. Unfortunately, his conversion was through and at the hands of Farrakhan, who is a radical Islamist, a hater of America, a purveyor of violence, a sworn enemy of American values. He converted under Farrakhan. He is close to Farrakhan even now. That's one little thing I'll tell you about. Anti-Semitic? Wow. Keith Ellison is absolutely 100% through and through anti-Jew. Now, I wonder what all that Jewish population that's been voting for Obama is going to think of that when he gets elected DNC chairman, if that occurs. The fact that he's in the top guy in the running, even if he's edged out at the end, should give every Jew in America pause. How any Jewish person in America can vote for a Democrat is absolutely beyond me. Chuck Schumer, who is Jewish, this is how ingrained this unholy alliance is. Chuck Schumer, who is Jewish and from New York, is backing Keith Ellison. Chuck Schumer, of course, is one of Obama's lackeys. I absolutely guarantee you, although this won't be leaked by the folks at the CIA, the Obama moles that are still there, the John Brennan moles, I guarantee you that Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama speak a number of times a week. So Chuck Schumer, a Jew, is backing a radical jihadist, because that's what Ellison is, for head of the DNC. I mean, it really makes you wonder, but it tells you a lot about where the so-called Democratic Party is at right now. And it tells you volumes about the alliance between the loony left and radical Islam. You should listen. You can Google this up. I don't know if the producers were able to. There's a limit to what we can get on the site. So there may be in the articles this week a couple of audios or videos of Ellison. But if not, you can Google them up. Google up Keith Ellison anti-Semitic speech. Listen to him yourself. Don't take my word for it. Listen to this guy. It's all in his own words. Just like Barack Obama's book. You know, the call to prayers. If the political winds blow ill, I shall side with the Muslims. So on and so forth. It's out there, guys. In their words. Audio. In writing. Irrefutable. So Ellison, after he converted to Islam under Farrakhan, and by the way, he has used the phrase, as you will hear for yourself if you wish to Google this, Allahu Akbar, numerous times. Gee, now what do those terrorists shout when they pull off one of those terrorists? Oh, that's right, Allahu Akbar. Must be just a coincidence. Keith Ellison went to Saudi Arabia in 2008. The trip was arranged and paid for by an outfit called the Muslim America Society. This is an offshoot of and founded by and financed by the Muslim Brotherhood. The same Muslim Brotherhood that Barack Obama peopled and infiltrated the United States government with in a whole bunch of places, including the White House. The same Muslim Brotherhood that he supported above the wishes of 36 million Egyptians in the streets. The same Muslim Brotherhood that Barack Obama adamantly resisted being labeled as a terrorist group. And if you listen to my other shows in the Muslim Brotherhood, you can learn a whole bunch more about them, including their infiltration of mosques, how the government under Obama through the Department of Agriculture financed mosques, and that money would get to the Muslim Brotherhood and to their terror arms, Hezbollah, Hamas. I've talked to you about all this stuff. But now it's out in the open. So anyway, his trip to Saudi Arabia, arranged and paid for by the American Muslim Society, who, by the way, spent $13,000 to send him over there. 13 grand. He was a congressman then, folks. This is the same guy who's jumping up and down saying Trump should be impeached because there's a conflict of interest. But he accepted a $13,000 trip paid for by an offshoot of a radical Islamic and a civilizational jihadist group. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. When he was over there, he met with a number of people. He met with a sheik. I can't pronounce his name. The same sheik, by the way, who had entered and entered again after the visit, a fatwa. In other words, a call to arms, a call to jihad. And the fatwa was against American troops. Keith Ellison is meeting with this guy, who is calling for the death, maiming, and wounding of American troops through a fatwa, no less, which makes it kind of a holy directive in the name of Allah under the Quran. He also meets with a bank that was formed in 2002. The bank is the It's called by several names, but it's called the Arabian Bank or the Arab Financial Bank. And there's other names for it also. Here's the bottom line, though. When it was formed in 2002, it was formed for one express purpose. And that was to fund terrorism. Fund terrorism. And it was organized with initial capital in 2002 of $200 million. $200 million. You know, I've done several shows, and you might be able to Google it up. You might be able to just put it in the search bar. pay for terrorists. I'm not sure the show will come up. Hopefully it will. But I've talked to you before, and there's been other stories in other medias about the fact that terrorists in Palestine, Hamas, Hezbollah, you name it, suicide bombers who go in and kill innocent people and get killed themselves, their families are taken care of financially. This is the bank that pays them, folks. This is the bank that pays them. Keith Ellison believes that 9/11 is, I quote, a joke played on Americans by Jews and by the government, unquote. Keith Ellison believes that 9/11, the destruction of the Twin Towers, is the same as Hitler, in according to his revisionist history, burning down the Reichstag in the early 1930s and blaming it on the communists. He thinks the destruction of the towers was a Jewish and American government plot to get America pissed off at radical Islam. Never mind bin Laden, you know, the same guy that Obama killed, declared war on America twice prior to 9/11. We didn't listen. Never mind that there had been a host of terror attacks prior to 9/11, the bombing of barracks in Beirut, where we lost, you know, several hundred Marines, the embassy bombings all across Africa and the Middle East, you name it, the coal. I mean, you can go on and on and on. But Keith Ellison maintains that it was a joke played on Americans by Jews and by the government, and that it was a Hitler-like action. In Hitler's case, to whip up the Germans against communism, and in our case, to whip up Americans against Muslims. I mean, quite amazing. One of the speeches you might want to Google up by Ellison is his speech in 2010. Just Google up Keith Ellison 2010 speech. I'm not sure it'll be on the first page, but it probably will be. Listen to it. You don't think he's anti-Semitic and anti-Israel? He talks about how a country of 7 million, that's Israel, surrounded by 350 million Muslims, is directing and controlling the entire foreign policy of the United States and has to stop. They have to go away. They can't exist. He is a huge supporter, big surprise, of the Iranian quote-unquote nuclear deal, which guarantees Iran a bomb in 10 years. Or should I say bombs, plural. He is against any further sanctions on Iran for testing ballistic missiles, because how else can they deliver them to the United States and Israel if they don't have missiles? You got to understand where this guy's coming from. This is the guy that the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party, is about to elect or is going to come damn close to being elected as party chair. I think that tells you all you need to know about the Democratic Party, doesn't it? And it tells you all you really need to know about the unholy alliance between the loony left, i.e. the Democratic Party, and radical Islam. It's really quite amazing. Let me give you some other examples of this unholy alliance just in the last week or two. I did a show 3 or 4 weeks ago. You can type in the search bar, The March of the Angry Vaginas. It's one of my most popular shows ever, I might add. Maybe it was the title. But I talk about one of the organizers, one of the primary organizers of that march, being a woman by the name of Linda Sassar. That's S-A-R-S-O-U-R. A radical Islamist, a proponent of Sharia law, a Muslim American who is so audacious as to organize a march by obviously women without brains for women's rights, while at the same time she's tweeting about how great Sharia law is and how the United States should be under Sharia law. You know, Sharia law, genital mutilation, wear a veil, you can't drive, you can't get educated, you can't work. You know, that Sharia law, as it applies to women. Marital rape is okay. If you get raped, you need 4 witnesses, or you get stoned to death for casting false aspersions. You know, that Sharia law. This is the woman who organized the lefty march. You don't think there's an alliance between the loony left and radical Islam? Even in the March of the Angry Vaginas? Really? How can you escape the fact, folks? How can you escape it? Well, they're out of the closet. If you care to open your eyes, all these people, all these facts, all these alliances are out of the closet. Donald Trump has outed them. Donald Trump and the deplorables. It's going to be very, very interesting year or two. Very interesting. So, that's Keith Ellison. That's Linda Sassar. And then, of course, you have Brennan, who is the head of the CIA. And you have the current shadow government antics of the CIA and their leaks, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, on and on and on. There is no ending to it. I could spend another 3 hours giving you dots, but I don't think I really need to, do I? I mean, you know, if you get slapped in the face by a dead fish, how many times do you have to get slapped in the face by a dead fish to know you've been slapped in the face by a dead fish? It should only take once. The stench is undeniable. And the slime. Which brings us to the other part of this unholy alliance. that part which wants to misdirect our attention, that wants to lie to us, that wants to divert our attention from what's really going on with all sorts of glittering coins called fake news. MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times. Donald Trump is exactly right. They are an enemy of America and the American people. And I don't mean when they report on something which should be reported on. I mean, if the Trump administration screws up, then it should be reported on. Factually. Not with a leaning, not with a bent, not with a twisting, not with omissions. Factually. Let me give you an example before I tell you some more things about this third prong of this unholy alliance, which is the mainstream media that carries the water for radical Islam and the loony left and the alliance of radical Islam and the loony left. So you have this brouhaha. It started, I think, Thursday or Friday, where Rance Priebus, suddenly all the mainstream media folks are jumping up and down because they're accusing Rance Priebus, and therefore Donald Trump, of going to the FBI and asking, telling, cajoling the FBI into saying that the Russian Trump campaign thing is a bunch of crap. And so they're trying to make it like the Trump administration is putting pressure on the FBI to kind of try and cover something up. You know, it's kind of like Flynn, which I'm going to talk about here in a moment. Where they talked about his calls to Russia, which was a big red herring, as I will explain to you in a moment. But that's not what happened. And they know that's not what happened. And I'm going to tie it into something else for you. Here's what really happened. One of the top guys in the FBI by the name of McCabe. Do you remember that name? I've talked about him on my shows. You might, I don't know if the single name will call up the show, but you can type it in, McCabe, FBI McCabe. I talked about it before the election. This is like one of the top three guys in the FBI whose wife ran for Congress in Virginia and who received from a Hillary Clinton, huge Hillary Clinton supporter, McAuliffe, $500,000 in Democratic campaign funds for her run for Congress. This is her husband, McCabe. This is the guy who kind of lost some reports, you know, having to do with Hillary and other skullduggery. I told you all about it. Nothing ever happened to him, unfortunately. He should have been run out of the FBI on a rail or prosecuted, but he wasn't. So this guy, this is what really came down. This guy goes to Priebus, not the other way around. McCabe goes to Priebus and says, just want to let you know that this New York Times article and connections, any connections between the Trump campaign and Russia is a bunch of BS. He actually used the whole term. BS. And Priebus kind of fell in the trap because McCabe, I'm convinced, was setting him up. Absolutely, positively setting him up. McCabe is an Obama, Hillary, establishment, globalist, loony left, Democrat, married to a loony left Democrat, financed by loony left Democrats. So McCabe goes to Priebus, says this New York Times article, et cetera, is all BS. Priebus says, Priebus thinks about it, and a little while later calls McCabe and says, listen, will the FBI go out and say publicly what you told me privately? There's nothing wrong with that, folks, at all. He didn't ask them to change their tune at all. He just asked them to state the tune they had stated to him previously in public. McCabe said no. In addition, he told Priebus, however, you can go out and say it, but you can't use my name. But you can certainly use the information I gave you publicly. But the FBI can't come out and back you. And Priebus does just that. And the whole deal, this is how you know it was a setup. This is the deep state at work. This is the undermining and sabotage of Trump by Obama at work. The whole thing gets blown up because McCabe leaks it. Or McCabe has someone leak it. Rance Priebus's call to McCabe to simply ask him to say in public what he had said in private suddenly became huge national news because of the leak. It was all set up. And that's the real story behind it. Let me tell you some more mainstream messy media. By the way, does everybody like my new categories that I've added on the articles? Media mess, Trump's skullduggery, and I don't mean Trump's skullduggery, I mean skullduggery against him. You know, shadow government, deep state stuff going on against him. Loony left, my new categories for articles. And man, I could blow you away with 100 articles a week. I try and keep it to 30 or 40. But if you read them, your eyes will pop out of your head, I flat guarantee you. So there's this commentator by the name of Nika Brzezinski on MSNBC. And in the course of interview, discussion, panel, whatever, over the last week, she lets it slip, and I'm paraphrasing now, but it's pretty close to the quote, that is, it is the media's responsibility to influence how Americans think. To tell Americans how to think. This is what the mainstream media really thinks, folks. That they know better, that they can control your brains, they can control your minds, and they can control the flow of information. And the fact that they're being called out of the closet on it, the fact that CNN was exposed giving questions to Hillary ahead of the debates and a host of other things really pisses them off, and it makes them nervous because they are losing their grip on the flow and control of information, which they have enjoyed perennially forever. And you've probably heard other stories of other fake news, but this is the one that's most recent, like in the last 48 hours. And it's a big one, I might add. A big one. So we have Brzezinski's comment this week also. Anyway, those two things alone, I think, give you a flavor of how corrupt certain elements, not all, certain elements of the mainstream media are. Corrupt and arrogant. And it's a shame. You know, I was trained as a journalist. I went to college for forestry and technical journalism, specialty editorial writing. And let me tell you that the journalism I see being practiced by many today, not all, but many, is nothing like I was taught by the erstwhile professors at Colorado State. I was taught to have two sources. I was taught to verify a fact before I wrote it. I was trained not to slant the story. I mean, it's really a travesty. And I know some of you people will say, well, you sure have a lot of opinion in your shows. And, you know, folks, I give you news. I give you facts. I show you how they are dots. And I help you connect them. Or I give you an idea on how you might connect them. That's what I do. And from what I see, there's very little, if any, other media out there that does it in the same style as I do. But listen, it's not just the radical Islamists, the loony left, and certain elements of the mainstream media elite. You also have, believe it or not, some Republicans in the mix, mostly on George Soros' payroll. I mean, wow. John McCain, and I have not verified, let me emphasize this, I have not verified that he has ever received or accepted money from George Soros. I don't know that. But I do know this. I do know that in the last week, he gave a major policy address. He's chairman of the Armed Forces Committee, okay? I mean, he's a powerful guy. So, number one, he gave a speech at the Munich Security Conference, and it was a withering critique of Trump's worldview. He expressed his displeasure at what he sees as a shift in U.S. and Europe away from universal values. In other words, globalism. And then a week later, he makes a secret trip to Syria. This week, folks, getting in the middle of this administration's foreign policy in the Mideast. This is unbelievable. Susan Collins. From Maine. She was one of the two Republicans to vote against Betsy DeVos, if you remember, the education secretary. She actually thinks, she sits on a committee also, she thinks that her committee should subpoena Donald Trump's tax returns. That's also in the last week. Pretty amazing. She's a Republican. Let me emphasize, or says she's a Republican. And then we have several Republican senators who in the last week have proposed, you can't make this up, a carbon tax. You know, global warming, carbon tax, Barack Obama and the left's dream of total control, ultimate control. A carbon tax. I mean, you couldn't think of a bigger spike to put in the tire of the American economy than a carbon tax. All right. The landmines that Barack Obama left for Donald Trump. I've talked about them in previous shows. I'm not going to go over any of them. But I stumbled across a perfect example, and this is seemingly innocuous. It's kind of buried in the backstory. I don't think anybody's really talked about it. And I got it from CFACT, which is Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. Good outfit, by the way. So their senior advisor is Paul Dreesen. And I've talked about in previous shows the fact that the loony left, the green wing, the environmental crazy wing of the loony left, had a deal throughout the 8 years of Obama's terms, and this worked in concert with the EPA. I mean, it's all connected, guys and gals. Basically, they would file a lawsuit, usually no merit. But lawsuits are expensive, time-consuming, energy-draining, no matter what. And they were filing the lawsuits against agencies who agreed with the loony left because Obama had staffed them with the shadow government. So the greenies would file the lawsuit, and the agency that was sued, EPA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, whatever it was, would pretend to fight it for like 90 days, and then they'd settle it. And they'd settle it by adopting, in all or in part, the ridiculous restrictions, regulations, and policies that the loony left greenies wanted, using the lawsuit as a cloak. Kind of like Obama uses black as a cloak, if you can see the analogy. So there's this, in the final days of Obama's unfortunate tenure as president, the Fish and Wildlife revised a bunch of findings relative to bumblebees. I'm not making this up. This is the absolute truth. And they're called rusty patch bumblebees. And they were declared to be endangered there in the waning days of Barry's rule. Originally, the science was that there was a parasitic fungal infection that was hurting the rusty patch bumblebees, and that was coming from commercial bees being imported from Europe. That seems fairly easy to fix. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service, literally weeks before Obama leaves office, changes their finding. And they blame it, instead of all the settled science up to that point, on certain types of pesticides that farmers use, that environmentalists hate, and have been trying to ban, by the way, for about a decade, since before Obama's time. So what you have with the rusty bumblebee deal now is a last-minute sue, then settle, then designate, then change the designation, and then implement regulations that were a complete favor to Obama's hardcore green supporters, and a complete detriment and undermining of the incoming administration, and by the way, all us bitter clingers, irredeemable deplorables, and bubbas. You know, all of us who want to work, earn a living. So, I found that really interesting. The rusty patch bumblebee, symbolic of so much more, folks. So much more. I was going to talk to you today about several other things, too. Including what's happening with Greece. So let me just spend 10 seconds on it. I'm going to cover it next show, because next week I'm going to be talking about some underlying problems with the American economy, which are not of Donald Trump's doing, that you need to keep your eye on, and several things that are going on internationally, which can affect the American economy, no matter what Trump does, that you need to keep your eyes on. I think you'll find it fascinating. And I'm sure there'll be a raft of news between now and then relative to the ongoings in Washington, D.C., and the loony left and radical Islam and who knows what. But Greece is in the midst of another financial crisis. in Greece is way beyond fixing. And so are a host of other European countries. I've been talking about this for years. In fact, I did a show 4 years ago. Type in the search bar, Greece is California. Fox News, in fact, picked up that exact title and did a story also at that time, which I was actually quite proud of. So Greece is California. Oh, by the way, my story came out first. Fox's came out several weeks later. Here's the bottom line. There's trouble in the world's economy. There's trouble in the European Union and the European Union's economy. There's trouble in China's economy. And there is some fundamental structural problems in the American economy, despite the market going up, despite good jobs reports, despite a lot of things. You need to be aware of them so that you can watch them. You can look for the clues. And I was also going to talk about Flynn and Nance and Sally Yates. Remember the attorney that said the acting attorney general said that she would not defend Trump's executive orders on immigration? I want to tell you a little bit about her, too. Another time bomb that Obama left. He appointed her. And she was instrumental in Flynn's resignation, which a lot of people don't know. Instrumental. The wiretaps, the whole nine yards, the leaks. It's all set up. All on purpose. We'll talk about that next week. I'm sure there'll be a bunch more along those lines also. So, this is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I hope I've given you some food for thought. I hope I've given you even more dots than I have afforded you literally over the years on these points. And I hope that I have made a cohesive presentation as to the expansion, or should we say the consistency, the actual constituents and components of the deep state alliance of radical Islam, the loony left, certain parts of the mainstream media, the shadow government, and how they are aligned against nationalism, against American values, against you and I, and against the new administration. And giving you a feel for some of the reprehensible steps they are taking to try and bring all of that they are against, including us, folks, down. And once again, I'll ask you to pass this link on to 20 other people. And by the way, don't be bashful about going to Facebook on the Right Side Radio page and throwing a like at it. You have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.